Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. The truth of the Word of God from the God of truth, whose laws and commandments are true, whose Holy Spirit is true, whose Savior, Jesus Christ, proclaim that He was the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through Him. Now, we've been going in great detail through parts of the Old Testament concerning the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And I've been going through this in great detail for us to understand the blessing that comes from obeying God. How did it ever become a doctrine that to love God and keep His commandments somehow brought a curse upon people? And yet that is adamantly taught by a great deal of mainstream Protestantism. How did that come about? Well, because they are carnal-minded. Now, what does that mean? That means that they're not converted. Oh, but my minister is so nice. Really? How come they're quitting in droves? What is happening? Well, you see, what needs to happen in Protestantism is what we're reading about here in 2 Chronicles 29 and 30 and 31. They need to return to the Lord with all their heart and mind and soul and being. And they need to confess their sins. And they need to cease diminishing the Word of God by saying you don't need to keep the things in the Old Testament, by saying that it was only for the Jews. These things are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the earth have come. And these things are types for us to understand, as the Apostle Paul wrote, that we don't sin like they sinned. Now, the kings of Judah had good kings, some not so good, not so bad, excellent, like Hezekiah, totally evil, as we'll see, with King Manasseh. And they did what every carnal-minded person does to the Word of God. They add to it. They take away from it. They bear down on some of it. They overlook some of it. They say it's been done away. They say that it doesn't apply to us today. Well, then why have the historical accounts in the Old Testament then, where Paul wrote and said, that through the Old Testament, you're able to be made wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, as we will see when we get to the New Testament, the Passover day is the key day. Because that Passover day in 30 AD, when Jesus was crucified, was selected before the foundation of the world. And do you think that God is going to honor those who reject the Passover? Reject the Passover in the New Testament because that's what Jesus kept. So let's learn the lesson here. Yes, God honors His Sabbath. God honors His holy days. He put them in the very creation. That's why we have the calculated Hebrew calendar. Regardless of how men may rearrange the days, seventh day of the week from creation has been what we call Saturday today. Now, concerning the feast of the Lord, remember these are of the Lord which we were told to proclaim in their seasons. Now, we saw what happened to Hezekiah and the priest. They cleaned the temple up, but they didn't get it ready for the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. So what they did They took counsel, and here's what they established. Because the Bible says in Numbers 9 that if you can't keep it on the 14th day of the first month, then you can keep it on the 14th day of the second month. So since the temple had been virtually totally shut down and overrun by all kinds of paganism and pagan days and pagan idols and pagan incense altars and burnt offering altars, just like people do today, they trample on God's holy righteous laws. So here, Hezekiah repented, the people repented. So verse 5, 2 Chronicles 30, and they established a decree and sent notice throughout all Israel, the 10 tribes. Little sidebar, 10 tribes of Israel were never absorbed into the Gentiles. The prophecy in Amos was that he would sift Israel through all nations and not lose one seed. Yes, they're all here today. Now, if you don't have the book, you can download it right from this website, Judah Scepter, Joseph Birthright, and that will open your eyes to an astonishing, neglected, forgotten history and prophecy of the 10 tribes of Israel. Because you see, the Bible shows that in the end time, they were to be the leading and most powerful nations in the world. You go ahead and download that book. You can get it free of charge. Might take you a while to load it down, but you read it, and you understand it. Now let's continue here. From Beersheba to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, for they had not done it in large numbers as it was written. Then the runners went out with letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, according to the commandment of the king, saying, O children of Israel, turn again to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you who have escaped. So God would deliver them. We're having a lot of troubles today. Are we beset by enemies on every side? Do we find evil and corruption within? Do we find sin, sickness, and disease? Do we find upset weathers and flood and fire and drought? Well, what is the solution? Return to God. He's the one who's controlling it, not global warming. Sorry about that, Al Gore. You're not God. So then, here's what happened. Verse 13. And many people gathered at Jerusalem to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread, not Easter. Easter is the Queen of Heaven, which God says, you shall not worship. Keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the second month, a very great congregation. Now here's what they did. They were zealous. They were repentant. They saw what they had done with their lives and with their actions, and instead of worshiping and following God, that they were actually worshiping the gods of the nations around them, which meant they were following Satan the devil. What do you suppose has happened to modern Christianity today? Because they keep the very same pagan days? Here's what they did. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem and all the altars for incense to other gods. They took away and cast them into the brook Kidron to return to God. If you're going to return to God, you have to return to God and you have to keep the Passover and his holy days. Because those are God. If you're going to return to God, you're not going to return to God with a Sunday revival meeting or a Christmas Eve Mass. No. You're wallowing in the throes of ancient paganism that lying theologians and priests and ministers have said, oh, that's okay to do because we're under grace. Really? That's why we have the book, Cold Holidays, God's Holy Days, Which? And you need to read every single page in it. It's not a little booklet. It's over 300 pages. Now notice verse 15 again. And they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month, and the priests and Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings to the house of the Lord. And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. And the priests sprinkled the blood from the hand of the Levites. And many in the congregation were not sanctified. The Levites were over the killing of the Passover lambs for everyone who was not clean in order to sanctify them to the Lord. So they had many of them from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, Zebulun. Now notice what Hezekiah did. Hezekiah intervened for them because of their repentance, but it wasn't yet complete. So just like Moses intervened to save the children of Israel after they sinned greatly in the wilderness, here Hezekiah intervened and prayed to the Lord. And he said, verse 18, may the good Lord pardon everyone who prepares his heart to seek the Lord God of his fathers. Now, what are you prepared to do? What does God say? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be open. Have you been doing that? You want to know the truth of God? You want to know his way? You want to know how you can have your sins forgiven? Do you want to know how you need to live your life? Well, we have all the material for you, so you will understand how you can do that. Notice what God requires. Isaiah 55. God gives his challenge. See, God honors whenever a sinner turns to him with real repentance, with real sorrow, with tears streaming down, because you look and see that you have broken the Sabbath, you have broken the holy days, you have idols and statues in your house. You have dishonored your father and mother. You have had hatred and bitterness and fighting and strife, which is equivalent to murder. You've had lying and cheating and stealing and all of these things into your life. And God says to you, repent. He will honor it. And here's what you need to do. And I'm here to tell you, by the word of God, there are not many more years left where there is enough peace where you can seek God in the way that we're able to do it today. The day is coming. The time is not too far down the road where America will be torn asunder with riots just like there have been in Greece. Will that be too late? We don't know. But for you, the Bible says, today, if you will hear his voice and harden not your heart. So here's what God says. Are you willing to do this? Verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy upon him and to our God and he will abundantly pardon. Now that's a promise from God. So if you set your life to really seek God, if you set your life to really do the things that are right and good, God will honor it. God will forgive your sins. God will draw you to him. God will show you the way. God will open your eyes as you study the Bible when you go through and you're willing to love God and be obedient and keep his commandments. Now let's continue. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. So think of this for a minute. Today we live in a world where everyone's individual opinion is tantamount to being the sanctified word of God, because so many people think of themselves as an island unto themselves, a God unto themselves. No, You have to forsake your thoughts. You have to forsake your ways and return to God. Are you willing to do that? If you do, then this will begin to happen in your life. You will begin to understand the Word of God. And remember this simple premise. Whatever you see, whatever you read, where it is clear and easy to understand, you are obligated by God to begin to obey what you see and read and hear, so that you can continue to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding. If you do not, then you're once again going to be cut off from God. Now notice, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, you see. So when you come to this repentance and begin to understand the Word of God, you will begin to understand the thoughts that you could not understand until you have repented to God. See? Now notice, verse 11, so shall my word be which goes out of my mouth. God's word goes out. You have a Bible in your home? Yes, you do. Many of you are watching this right on your computer or on your iPad or on your cell phone. It's right there in front of you. Did God send the technology so these things would be available? So that God, in spite of the billions that are on earth, with his word could reach down to you as an individual? Because he loves you? Because he wants you to repent? Because he wants you to return to him? Because he wants you to understand about the Sabbath and Passover and holy days and the truth about salvation? All of those things are available. But you first got to do this. Now notice God says here in verse 11, so shall my word be which goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall surely do what I send it to do. Because you see, now you look at that and you think, oh, it's talking of the word of God as if it is living. That is true. The Word of God is the living Word of God, meaning it functions automatically for blessings or cursings. It functions automatically in truth to instruct if you want the truth. Now notice, come down here to verse 20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people, forgave them of their sins. You know, the Old Testament, you read Ezekiel 33. God says, I have no delight in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn. So he pleads with Israel through Hezekiah, turn you, for why will you die, O house of Israel? So you just put your name there. So why will you die spiritually, whatever your name is? Now notice how great this was. Notice what a revival this was. Now, we're going to come to a greater revival here in just a little bit that also involves the Passover, too. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with great gladness. First, they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month, and then they kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread from the 15th through the 21st. Okay? And inclusive counting, that's 7 days. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day with loud instruments to the Lord. And Hezekiah spoke encouragingly to all the Levites who taught the good knowledge of the Lord, and they ate the appointed things 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. This was such an astounding revival. How could something like that happen in America? I doubt it. We are so divided and confused as a nation and people in everything, in government, in religion, in finances, in education, in personal lifestyles. But it can happen in your life, and God can be with you to facilitate Now we get many letters and emails from people saying, I never knew what was in the Bible. I went to church many years of my life, but I never understood it. And when I did ask the minister about a question concerning it or a priest concerning it, they just slough it off and say, oh, well, you don't need to worry about that. As long as you have Jesus, everything is just fine. Well, we'll find out a little later, what does it mean to have Jesus? So they were so excited in this because they had not had a Passover and unleavened bread like this and such a great revival that God honored what they did next out of the blessing coming from God that they wanted to zealously return to God completely. So here's what they did. Verse 23. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep another 7 days, and they kept another 7 days with gladness. Verse 25. And all the congregation of Judah with the priest and the Levites and all the congregation that came out of Israel and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel, yes, Gentiles who lived in Judah rejoiced. And there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the days of Solomon, the son of David, King of Israel, there was nothing like this in Jerusalem. And what they did after that? They were so zealous that they went through the land and destroyed all the idols. They destroyed all the images. They tore down the groves. They eliminated the Ashtaroth, or which then are the standing idols. And they cleansed the land. Well, that's what would have to happen here in America. You think about that. You think that's possible here? You need to picture it for just a minute. It would be an astounding thing for that to happen, wouldn't it? To renounce their worldly Christianity, which they thought was sanctified by God, but never was. To destroy their idols, their crucifixes, to cleanse their churches, take down all their crosses, rejecting all the holidays of this world, those pagan days which the Catholic Church has sanctified and the Protestants have gone along with it. Listen, if you're a Protestant, you are no more than a warmed-over liberal Catholic. Do you understand that relationship to the Word of God? Now, if that's too strong for you to handle, boy, you're in terrible shape. Then they returned to God with their money, with their tithes, with their offerings. And they brought in so many things from the tithes of their crop, the tithes of their earnings, the tithes of the land, the tithes of the animals, and the firstborn, bringing them to Jerusalem for the priest, that they had to set up great storage areas where and they just heaped it up. God blessed them so much that they had heaps, more than they had ever had before. And the priests were so happy that now they were not neglected like they were in the past, and they could keep the offerings of God going, and they could serve the people the way that they should. And they prospered, and King Hezekiah and those with him then set themselves out to do a certain portion of canonizing sections of what later became the Old Testament. Now, if you want to know how that was done, then you need to also get this Bible, the Holy Bible, in its original order. This is an astounding Bible. It returns to the regular manuscript order that God inspired to be when the Old Testament was put together by Ezra and the great synagogue, a priest of 120 of them. And when you come to the New Testament, that which the Apostle John and Philip and Andrew canonized after the book of Revelation. In the order that it should be. And in that order, you learn some lessons because that's the proper order. If you've got a King James Bible, you've got scrambled eggs. If you have a Dow Way version of the Bible, you've got scrambled eggs. There is a reason why God put it in the order that he did. And isn't it interesting? You have the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then you have the four Gospels and Acts. Now that is the middle. That is number four of the seven divisions of the Bible. And that tells about Jesus Christ. And that tells about, as I have written in this book, The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah. Number four is associated with the death of Christ, the day of the crucifixion. And it is astounding how God did everything right on schedule according to the appointed times that he set forth from the beginning. Now, I want you to grasp and understand how great God is. I want you to realize that he is right there now on his throne with Jesus Christ at the right hand. I want you to understand that you can cry out to the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you can draw close to them. You can return to them, just like we read here in the Old Testament. And your life can be changed, and you can find God, and you can have your sins forgiven, and you can be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit of God and wait the second return of Jesus Christ to be born into the kingdom of God as a glorified spirit being. That's what God is offering to you. But it's essential that we understand these things in the Old Testament so that when we come to the New, we will see how it applies. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Please be sure and go to our other website, cbcg.org. So until next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.